Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, and we're going to be previewing the Bulls as they enter the 2020 regular season. The preseason was a lot of fun. It was cool to see some of those new additions like Tomas Satoransky, Thaddeus Young play with this unit. It was fun to see Zach LaVine take a nice little step. It was fun to see Lauri Markkanen get back on the court. Really enjoyed what we saw from Kobe White. But now it's time for actually some real basketball. And the expectations in Bulls Nation, I think, are at a pretty good point here. I think a lot of us Bulls fans think we're going to see some vast improvement from what we saw in 2019. Some of us are thinking that this team could make the playoffs given the weak Eastern Conference. Other Bulls fans are thinking that maybe high 30s in terms of wins, getting back into the lottery, but have a much improved outlook. Either way, I think there's a little bit more optimism than what we've seen in the last couple years out of Bulls Nation, and that's a good thing. But it really comes down to what we see on the court, and that starts, of course, this Wednesday against the Charlotte Hornets. I'm going to end the podcast today by offering some of my predictions for the season, win totals, scoring averages for certain players, things like that. I'll get into those at the end of the show. But first, I want to bring in Salem Sudarwala from the Bulls Gold podcast. He's been on our show before. He delivered a rebuilding plan this past summer, and I wanted to get his thoughts on the expectations for the Bulls this season. So let's bring him on in. Salem, how's it going? Thanks for coming back on.
Hey, Matt. Appreciate you having me on. Just looking forward to talking some Bulls hoops right now.
Really just want to start with just your reaction to everything that happened this preseason. And really, what was your biggest takeaway?
Biggest takeaway? Zach looks primed for another big step. Offensively, he looks like he's scoring effortlessly out there. I know I've always wondered, he's always exceeded my expectations as far as the steps that he can take in his game. And going into the season, I was wondering, if he would just continue scoring output that he has last year. But now I'm thinking he may end up in the top 10, 5 even. For sure, probably top 10 in scoring averages. I'm thinking maybe 25 points per game is a minimum for him next season, or this season, I should say. And then his defensive awareness has been better. We've seen the effect that Tomas Satoransky, Thad Young have on the team as far as the team play and the veteran leadership they bring. Obviously, with Tomas, he makes a lot of things much easier for Zach because the way he can handle the ball, run the point guard position. We've seen really great play from Kobe White. Exciting to see the way he's scoring the ball. He, for a seventh pick again, Bulls fans have been, in a situation the last 3 years where we were hoping for, well, not necessarily the last 3 years because the Lauri Markkanen seventh pick was kind of, we weren't really looking at winning the lottery in that season. At least the last 2 seasons, Bulls fans were kind of hoping to see a number one pick or at least a top 3 pick, and then with the seventh pick. And once again, last season we got Wendell Carter Jr. we're pretty happy with, and this year we got Kobe White, which is more and more looking like a good pick. So he's looked obviously great with his scoring. The Bulls offense, we were all probably concerned about with Jim Boylan, what he would do. And when they added Chris Fleming to the coaching staff, we've seen his effect on the offensive game plan. With the way we're moving the ball, taking a lot more efficient shots. They're focusing on, they're kind of eliminating unnecessary mid-range game. Taking more three-pointers, that was a big concern last season. A lot of times the Bulls would take less threes the other teams were making, and that's always going to end up in a bad, situation. You're not going to win a lot of games doing that. So, yeah, all those things. There's so many positives to take away from this preseason.
Yeah, I think the flow of the offense, I think, was the biggest takeaway for me this preseason. And you did see a crispness of the way the ball moved. And really, we heard a lot about the multi-ball handler system. It was brought up a lot during media day, and you definitely see that, and how the addition of Tomas Satoransky kind of helps that flow with the first unit.
He's been exactly what you expected him to be as far as a guy that gets out there, pushes the pace, and like I said, makes things easier for LaVine, kind of sets the rotation in itself where Dunn can move to the second unit, be that defensive hustle guard off the bench, just come in and play defense. Don't worry about being a ball handler. and just do his thing. And then I'll see also Kobe, we can bring him along slowly. We don't have to force him into being the starting point guard. Let him play off the ball a little bit as he's still learning, because he's not really a pure point guard. He's more of a combo guard right now. So, yeah, all of that, really, he makes everything fit a lot better.
You know, to stick with the point you're making here about Kobe White, he had a really impressive preseason, and you definitely see the scoring potential as a combo guard. Do you think that's something that's going to be sustainable? Do you think that, you know, as we get into the regular season, we're going to see him sort of maintain those larger minutes we saw, or do you think that they're going to take him along a lot slower?
I don't know how many minutes they plan for him. I would still think he'll play around 20 minutes a game. Ideally, that'd be nice if he plays more. My thing with when going into trying to win, when with young players, it's in the regular season, it's different, right? When you're trying to win games, young players, rookies especially, they're not necessarily a big part of winning teams. They can be, certainly. There's no doubt that they can be, but it's that's a big factor. So I do think he's going to be a big part of the rotation. That's why I think a guy like Daniel Gafford probably is not going to play as much as people probably want him to. Not initially. That's why I think Luke Kornet will be ahead of him in the rotation. Not only because he's a little more experienced, but he's also fits better with a guy like Thaddeus Young, as far as the inside-outside game is concerned. But as far as Kobe White, I definitely see him playing 20-plus minutes a game. Shooting-wise, scoring-wise, if he's off the ball, if in college he shot 90% in the 90th percentile as a spot-up shooter at the three-point. So you see his form is very pretty. It's very smooth. I don't see an issue with that as a scorer and a shooter is concerned. So I can definitely see him continue replicating his offensive game. Not necessarily give you a lot of 30-point games. That might not be in the cards, but yeah, I see him being able to at least score and then develop his game maybe as the season goes along, and maybe become a little better passer as well.
I want to go back to Zach LaVine a little bit here. Definitely had an impressive preseason. You brought up the fact that there seemed to be a little more of an effort on the defensive end with him. We saw the ability to create a shot a lot more this preseason. Do you think he's poised for that big breakout in 2020?
Yeah, I like I said, he looks like he's going to exceed more expectations, at least on my end. You know, I've always admitted, you know, I was one of the people that was kind of nervous about the Bulls matching that contract, and clearly I was wrong about that. It would be, how awful would it be right now if the Bulls didn't match that contract and Zach is blowing up in Sacramento while we're still looking for this offensive player to kind of, you know, help be our lead offensive player. That would have been a really bad thing, and definitely would have been a situation that we didn't want to be in. So Zach, yeah, he's consistently exceeded my expectations as far as the type of player he has been and the offensive player he has been. And he doesn't really have a weakness on the offensive end as a scorer. You know, he can play from the outside on the perimeter. He's a great shooter as far as his shooting mechanics are concerned. He has a very smooth jumper. He can get to the rim at will. He's gotten really good at, when he gets to the basket, using the backboard and the right amount of English off the glass, scoring in various ways. A lot of D-Rose-esque, if you will, layups that you see from Zach, where you see him hitting it high off the glass or getting in. It's like, man, how did he maneuver into that layup? It's just beautiful to see. And then obviously he kind of showed a bit of a post game last year too, when he was able to play off of the elbow jumper. I don't know if you'll see a lot of that this year, because obviously the coaching staff and the analytics department was kind of trying to get, you know, more of an outside game and maybe eliminate a little bit of the mid-range game. But I think we'll see a little bit of the mid-range game from Zach, not as much as we did last season. But yeah, overall, he's just everything offensively he's doing. And we also have seen him become a better passer and a playmaker as well as the season went on last season. And I think that's something he'll continue to improve on this season as well.
So I actually wanted to ask you also about Lauri Markkanen, because it seemed like this preseason there was a little bit of hesitation still. Like the big thing with him, I think a lot of things that Bulls fans want to see is him being more assertive offensively. Are you at all concerned that he's not necessarily taking that step like we've seen with a guy like Zach LaVine? Are you concerned that that's not happening right now for Lowry?
My biggest concern with Lowry is, like you said, I wish he was more aggressive and more assertive. Outside of that, he's going into his third season, and he's only 22 years old. I think for me, it's always been what people, what people really expect out of Lowry Markkanen. When I used to look at Lowry, I never really saw a guy that could be a superstar. I saw a guy that can potentially be maybe an all-star, develop into a nice player that, you know, gives you 20 efficient points, 22 efficient points, maybe 9 rebounds, be very good floor spacer, be a really good, like, maybe a second option on a good team. But I never saw really a guy that's flat out a superstar potential player. So at 22 years of age, if he goes into the season, gives you about, like I said, 20 points, 9 rebounds, and efficiency, when I talk about like his true shooting percentage, for example, last season was about 55%. If he can up that to about 58%, that would show that he's playing a little more consistently throughout the season. Maybe be a better defender as well, as far as team defense is concerned. Not get pushed around as easier. But yeah, this, the biggest thing with him is the assertiveness and aggressiveness. And I think if he can kind of get comfortable in his role in this offense, I think we'll see that get better as the season goes on.
One guy that I've been trying to focus on more and more with this, when we talk about the young core of the Chicago Bulls, is Wendell Carter. And I think the big thing for him, of course, is health. You know, he's got to be healthy in order to you know, get the most out of him, because you see that he has some traits defensively that can be very good. He seems to be a guy that could, you know, help the offense flow. What do you expect from him this season? Are you, if healthy, what do you expect from Wendell Carter?
I think I expect him to be kind of that anchor of the defense in the middle. I expect him to go out there, be physical, be a rebounder. Offensively, I expect him to get most of his points maybe in the pick and roll, pick and pop game, especially with Zach. I think a lot of we saw a lot of Zach with the two-man games with the bigs. He was running, obviously, the PNR pick and pop with Lowry. We saw him run the pick and roll with Felicio. Obviously, Felicio, we don't expect him to be under rotation. But I think the reason he was running a lot of those pick and rolls is they expected that to be Wendell Carter instead of Felicio. So they just kind of were running plays to kind of get practice in. So I see that a lot with him and with Zach and Wendell getting in. And I think we'll obviously see him take a few more threes this year than we did in the past. Offensively, I'm not too concerned with his like points per game. I don't expect him to average like 14, 15 points or anything like that. Just because overall, there's a lot more mouths to feed this year, especially when you have... I expect our first three offensive options to be Zach, Lowry, and then Otto, as far as guys that are taking maybe bulk of the offensive possessions. And then the rest, you know, we'll see as it comes along. Obviously, there's, as we're pushing the pace more this year, there will be more shot options. But there's other guys that on the team, I think, that are probably better suited to be more focused on the offense. But I think we'll see Wendell get, he'll get his opportunities, but maybe I see maybe like 11, 12 points a game, something like that, 11, 12 points. But I'd like to see him be kind of like a double-double guy, get on the boards, get 11, like 10, 11 rebounds a game. And obviously we'll see his defensive presence where he's just really changing the game on the other end of the court against the other team.
Curious what you think, in the starting lineup, who do you think is going to have a bigger impact? Otto Porter or Tomas Satoransky?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would say the bigger impact is simply because, not necessarily that Tomas is going to be the better player. I think the reason the Tomas will probably have the bigger impact is last season compared to this season, we didn't really have a consistent starting point guard. So having that player in the lineup, I think he's going to make things run a lot smoother and make things just flow a lot easier. So I think you'll see Tomas have the bigger impact in that sense. But Otto Porter, he looks like he's kind of just taken off as far as when he got here last season with the Bulls. And the way he's playing aggressively, he was being the leader, one of the leaders on the team. Him and Thaddeus Young are probably the two guys that I think they've already been spoken to as the two leaders of the team, and we'll see hopefully eventually Lowry and Zach kind of take that role. But right now, those are the two guys, the young Bulls teams that I look at.
So the second unit, we talked a lot about Coby White earlier, but what do you think that second unit's going to look like going forward? I mean, we know you got Thaddeus Young in there, Chris Dunn, Coby White, but how do you think the rest of it's going to shape out?
The second unit will be interesting. At the FC, you said Coby White will be there. Dunn will be like that hustle defensive guard coming off the bench. Cornette, I think, is going to play a lot of, a lot of minutes, but he's going to be I feel like he'll be the primary backup at center. The wing depth is the biggest concern right now. I know there's some rumors about the Bulls inquiring about guys like Shumpert. I know the Warriors cut somebody right now, Alfonso. Forget his last name, I apologize. But he's another guy the Bulls are probably, looking at. But that's going to be the biggest concern. And I think you'll probably see that because of the concerns behind Otto Porter, you might see Thaddeus also step over to the three at times, playing the wing, maybe even Tomas as sometimes playing the wing. I know, obviously he's a starter on the team, but maybe you'll see him playing a little bit of three as well with the set, blending in with the second unit. So those are probably some of the more consistent guys. Honestly, a guy like Denzel Valentine hasn't looked very good. He's obviously, again, a bit of an excuse because he hasn't played basketball for over a year. Hutch seems like he's far away from being back into playing because of his hamstring injury he had. He hasn't even practiced, I don't believe, with the team. And yeah, that's probably the biggest concern as far as the wing depth is concerned on the team.
I was going to say, see Red Fred's crushed when he hears something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Fred's been taking his stride, though, I feel like. I think he's been acknowledging, like, yeah, Val doesn't deserve to be in the rotation right now. He's just he's not good as far as being an impact player. I ideally want to see him at least come in and be a good three-point shooter for the team. But outside of that, I think this was my expectations, to be honest, coming into season with Val is, a guy that hasn't played for that long, well, I don't know why we should expect that he will be a contributor on a team, at least the first half of the season. I expect him to work into himself back into being able to be out there playing, especially with him being already a slower player. He was coming off that ankle surgery. You know, that right there is like, okay, is that going to make him slower now? What's the deal?
You know, you brought up the possibility, you know, the Bulls looking into two guys. You mentioned Amon Shumpert and Alfonso McKinney.
That's right, McKinney. You're right.
Would you consider making those additions by adding some veteran wing depth, or would you rather just kind of let this play out with some of the other pieces in the second unit as is?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, Shumpert didn't really have that good of a season last season. I don't know, maybe he could bounce back this season and be better. The only person that you consider cutting on the roster is Shaq Harrison, as far as somebody that, especially with Dunn accepting that role of being a defensive guard off the bench, it makes it easier to, cut Shaq as far as his role probably becomes redundant in a sense. So he would be the only guy you consider cutting on the team to make room for one of those guys. Because the other players, I don't think you want to cut away just yet. At least the front office isn't wanting it. The front office isn't going to give up on Denzel Valentine just yet. And front office isn't going to give up, obviously, on Chris Dunn, nor should they, because we've seen him, the impact that he can have when he just focuses on being the player that we need him to be. And then a guy like Chandler Hutchison that they made a promise to last year, I don't think they want to lose face on giving up on him just yet. So more than likely, I think the Bulls will just stand pat and not make any moves, and we'll kind of go into the season. Maybe if they can pick up Alfonso McKinney, but I believe the Knicks, the Suns, and the Cavs are ahead of them in the waiver wire. So we'll see how that transpires.
This is a season I feel like there's actually some pretty decent expectations. And the front office, during media day put the bullseye on the team, pun intended, by saying that their goal is really to make the playoffs this year. We didn't hear anything about wanting patience. We didn't hear any talk of it still being a rebuild. We didn't hear about really player development. Do you think that they should be focusing on the playoffs, or do you think that there's still some time that they still need some time here to develop? It just seems sort of like they're putting all their eggs in that playoff basket, and it's hard to make a pretty big leap. They only won 22 games last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe they'll fall short, but no, I think that expectation, that mindset should be there for the team, that the goal should be playoffs. I don't disagree with that. I think that should, every night they should expect to try to improve, and that should be their goal. Now, if they fall short, I expect them to probably fall a little short. But no, I don't disagree with the expectation, the mindset with Jim Boylan going in, this is what we need, and be the leader. They shouldn't come in and say, no, well, we're going to just kind of continue to develop and waffle around that. I think they said the right things on immediate day pressure. As far as what their goals are for this season, they can still continue to develop. That's part of the young team. That's the part of nature. Does just because they're focusing on making the playoff doesn't mean they're not going to continue to develop the young players like Wendell Carter Jr., Kobe White and Lauri Markkanen, and even Zach LaVine is concerned. But yeah, I definitely agree with their mindset as far as wanting to be a playoff team.
We're talking here about the Bulls' expectations. What's your expectations? You mentioned that you kind of see them falling maybe a little short of the playoffs. What's the projected win total for you, and how do you kind of see the ebbs and flows of this upcoming season?
I think right now I'm sticking to after the free agency, everything settled down, a prediction of about 37 wins. I wouldn't be surprised if we got more if we stayed relatively healthy, and you all of a sudden you see the way this team is functioning. We saw in preseason, obviously, again, preseason is different, a lot different than the regular season, but if you kind of see that replicate the way that we were moving the ball, the way Zach stepped up and everyone else, the way they were fitting in into the rotation, you can maybe see more game win, maybe sneak into that 40, 41 win range. But that's what I expect, probably is about 37 wins, and I think I'll stick to that for now, and hopefully I'm wrong. That's obviously the hope. You never want to be wrong right in these kind of situations. You want to see the team always be better than what your expectations are. So that, I think for now I'll stick to the 37 wins, and we'll see how the season goes as it gets started.
So you know from being on the show previously, I had you come on and really live out a hypothetical fantasy of being the general manager of the Chicago Bulls when you delivered your rebuilding plan this summer. But I kind of want to throw another hypothetical your way. If the team ends up getting into the playoffs this year, let's say they win like 42, 43 games, what would your plan of attack be next summer? It's not a huge free agency class. I think Anthony Davis is going to be the big name from it. What would your game plan be in the 2020 offseason if the Bulls end up getting to the playoffs and sort of showing that they're on the up?
It's so tough. I definitely say Otto Porter is a guy you'll have to resign. You can't just let him walk. How much that will be for, that's the big question. That's a big question. I don't know how much the contract will come out to. The other question is, the NBA landscape changes, you know, more often than, you know, you see the moods of a teenager change, if you will. Like, one month a superstar player is saying, I want to be here for the rest of my career. And then the next month it's like, oh, okay, well, I never really meant that. And all of a sudden the talk is that they're going to leave in free agency, i.e. Kyrie Irving. You know, he's promised that, like, oh, I can see myself, my number being retired here in Boston Garden and with the Celtics. And all of a sudden, maybe like a month passed, and then he kind of changed his tune. And obviously now we saw him leave this past offseason as far as going to the Nets is concerned. So it's such a tough situation. I think the Bulls have to remain flexible. And if it's by chance a star becomes available this summer, be ready to offer up a package to get him. And I think they're in that situation. They are in that situation where they're not, they don't have a lot of ugly contracts that would be difficult to move. They're in a good situation as far as they have a lot of nice young players that can fit around a superstar, if you will, nicely. And if they can make that leap to shift there, if their team like that wins like 43 games, that'll be attractive to a big name player saying, oh, this is a young team that was able to get in the playoffs. If I can go there in a big market and everything like that's concerned, you know, I could definitely see myself winning here. So that those will be the focus going into the offseason if they're that good and you remain flexible and you're not, obviously you're not going to be able to sign any big name free agents because there aren't any, a lot of big name free agents. I think everyone that was going to be, that might be considered big, I feel like they've already extended or signed another contract.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. And the reason I asked about the 2020 offseason is because it seems like 2021, you got a lot of those opt-outs that are going to happen. I think Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they have some built-in opt-outs in their contract. You also have the probably the biggest fish that is going to be available is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I would be kind of intrigued on what the Bulls game plan would be there if, you know, they make that big leap in 2020. You know, are you still sort of holding out hope that you get one of those big names, or do you just say, you know, it's time to go for it if we see that player on the market, especially on the trade market?
100%, yeah. The moment a guy is available, they should put their names in there, no doubt, especially if this team, this young team is looking like they're a 40-win team and mid-40. And if they win about 43 games, I can see them being like a sixth seed in the East. I don't expect the East to be too strong overall. So it's the sixth, seventh seed in the East that, to me, at that point, you were probably ready to take that next step and try to get a star player. So, yeah, they should always, in that regards, be ready to pounce if a star player becomes available. Then the goal, obviously, in 2021 is to get a star, so a superstar star player. So if a guy becomes available before then and you can get that guy, you should always go for it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's we're bringing this hypothetical of if they win around 43 games. That probably means that Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen have taken huge leaps if that happens. It becomes a major attraction.
Exactly, yeah. When you have two young players playing at that high a level, and reality is this too, when you have guys that are that good, and if they can recruit, I feel like Zach is a very personable guy. Lauri seems like a very, you know, personable guy, if you will. So if they can also convince those guys, hey, yeah, you want to come play with us, that kind of takes out the equation of Pax and Gar, who've kind of maybe struggled and failed in the past, where it makes it easier if you have these guys doing all the recruiting. I think we saw, again, he's not a star or anything by any means, but he's a part of the Nets organization, a guy like Dinwiddie, who really went out there and talked to Kyrie and talked to KD about coming here and kind of sold them the organization to them and told them any questions that they may have, concerns that they may have about the organization. And the same way with Zach and Lauri is concerned, they can, you know, reassure these guys that, okay, any concerns and questions you may have about the organization, the perception about the organization is wrong, and yeah, definitely you want to come play with us.
Man, I actually am, now you got me really hoping that this scenario actually comes into fruition. I think that would be, yeah, I mean, that would make life so much better.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that would be, we all want that. Even all of us who are probably a more negative fans as far as the team is concerned, that's all we want. Every fan, all of us want the same thing. The goal is for the Bulls to be great and the Bulls to once again go for that, you know, that another championship run.
Salem, I really appreciate you coming on today, but before I let you go, want to get more information about where listeners can find Bulls Gold Podcast and what you guys got coming up this upcoming season.
Yeah, we're doing shows every week for the most part. We try to get, you know, different guests on to kind of give their perspectives on the team and have a good conversation. We just recently will have our new episode up tomorrow night, but it was someone from the Charlotte Hornets that covers the Charlotte Hornets. Not covers them necessarily, but they have a popular Charlotte Hornets podcast called The Buzz Beat, and they're coming. Someone from there, Spencer Percy, came on to kind of give his do a preview of the Hornets game, if you will. But yeah, every week you can listen to us on all major podcast providers and even minor ones. I know there's so many different like random search engines or whatever podcast service providers that if you just search Bulls Gold, you'll find us on there. And then overall, you can also follow us on bullsgold@twitter.com. And for myself, you can follow me at Salim at Jordan Dynasty. So yeah, all of those are concerned. You can follow us and you can hear mine and my my co-host Edward's takes on the Bulls. Yeah, Edward and I usually take turns tweeting. So it's either one of us as a lot of is a tweet from that often from that Bulls Gold account. But yeah, definitely. I think we're all pretty level-headed fans, so I don't think we get too crazy on our takes.
Yeah, we'll save that for C Red Fred.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Salem, thanks again for coming on, and look forward to having you on maybe a few more times this season.
Sounds good, Matt. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, so it can't really be a preview show without doing some type of projection or prediction, right? So I wanted to at least lay out some predictions on the record as we head into the 2020 season for the Chicago Bulls. And since this is kind of a special segment, I think we're going to need some music underneath it. A lot's been made about Zach LaVine and his scoring output. We know there was an article from The Ringer about a month ago that predicted he might be the NBA's leading scorer. That seems like a pretty tall task, but I'm going to say that Zach LaVine is going to lead the Bulls in scoring this season, and he's going to do it by averaging around 27 points per game. Now, I don't think that's too outlandish. We know he has the ability to score anywhere on the floor. Whether it's three-point line, mid-range, we know he can take it to the hoop, of course. So I'm predicting that he averages around 27 points per game this season, leading the Bulls in scoring. And that's not really that crazy. You know, last year he averaged just under 24, playing about 35 minutes a game. So I think if he's healthy, that should be a very obtainable goal for him. So again, I am predicting Zach LaVine to lead the Bulls in scoring with 27 points per game. Let's stay with Zach LaVine real quick for my next prediction. I think Zach LaVine is going to represent the Chicago Bulls at the 2020 All-Star Game. And of course, that's taking place in Chicago this year at the United Center. So I think it's going to be a great showcase for Chicago. It's going to be a great showcase for the franchise. And as Salem Suderwala just said earlier in our show here, you know, Zach LaVine is that type of guy that could be recruiting some of these star players to Chicago, or at least trying to recruit them. And I really think that him being at the All-Star Game would be the perfect scenario for the Bulls, because it provides him that opportunity to rub shoulders with some of the big stars in the league. And I really hope that he gets that opportunity. I'm predicting he's going to get that opportunity, because as I just said, I think he's going to average around 27 points per game. So I think with that kind of offensive output, it's going to make him a star attraction. Now, a prediction that I'm not sure I want to make, will he be participating in the dunk contest? That I'm not sure about. It would be a lot of fun, but I'm not sure if he's going to do that. I do think he will be a 2020 All-Star. Let's go to Lauri Markkanen. So Lauri Markkanen, I think he is going to take another step up this season. There's still sort of that lack of assertiveness on the offensive end, but I think as the season goes on, he's going to get more comfortable in his skin. Last year, he averaged just under 19 points a game. I have a feeling he's going to stay right around that scoring average this year. I think he'll average around 19 a game, get close to about 9 to 10 rebounds like he did last year. But I think the key improvement for him this year is that his field goal percentage will go up. Last year, he averaged just about 43%. I think we're going to see him get closer to that 48% this year, maybe even closer to about 50%. I think it's going to come from improvement of how he plays around the basket. And I also think we're going to see him take a nice step up in three-point percentage. So for his career, he shot around 36% from three. I actually think we're going to see him get around that 38 to 40% range this season. So again, my prediction for Lauri Markkanen, the point and rebounding totals are going to stay roughly the same as they did last year, but we're going to see much more improvement in terms of efficiency for field goal percentage. Let's go to Coby White. You know I've been pretty high on him if you've been listening to our episodes of the Rebuildable Podcast. Right around the draft, when they were in that number 7 spot, that was the player that I was rallying around the Bulls getting, was Coby White. And so when it happened, you know, I was pretty optimistic. And from what I've seen this preseason, I'm very cautiously optimistic that he's going to make a major impact with the second unit. What I'm predicting is that he's going to play roughly about 25 minutes a game. I think he's going to make an immediate impact right off the bat. And I said that in one of our last episodes. I wouldn't surprise me if he's averaging roughly about 12 to 13 points a game and providing a spark off the bench offensively. Mark Schanowski from NBC Sports Chicago, one of his post-game tweets from the last preseason game, made the comparison to Ben Gordon. And if you recall, Ben Gordon's rookie season in 2004-2005, he was the spark plug off the bench, and he ended up winning sixth man of the year. Now, that I think might be a little difficult for Coby White to do, because I also don't think he's going to be the leading scorer for the team. But I do think he's going to provide that type of jumpstart with the second unit. And when he does have his minutes with the first unit, whether that's playing the point guard spot or playing the two-guard spot, because it's a perfect kind of combo guard, I think he's going to make the most of those minutes. And I really do think he's going to have an impact right off the bat in his rookie campaign. Okay, I'm going to provide another prediction here, and this one actually has to do with an off-season prediction in the summer of 2020. So I think Otto Porter is going to have a very solid season with the Chicago Bulls this year. Now, he has a $28 million player option for the 2020-2021 season. So what does he do? I think he's going to opt out, and the reason I think he's going to opt out is for more long-term security, so he can cash in on a multi-year contract. Because look at it like this. If he enters the 2021 free agency class, he's going to have to try and get a big contract amongst a lot of primetime players, especially at his position. There's guys like Kawhi Leonard who could be opting out, Paul George, Giannis Antetokounmpo could be a free agent in 2021. And I think in 2020, there's not really a beefy free agent class. The big name is Anthony Davis, of course. But outside of that, there's not a lot of marquee free agents, and I think Otto Porter could cash in. We saw Harrison Barnes do something similar, where he opted out of a deal where he was making roughly the same amount of money that Otto Porter's making, but decided to opt out of that last year and cash in on another four-year contract. And I think Otto Porter might do something very similar here. So I think he's going to have a very solid season where he's averaging close to about 14, 15 points a game, shooting efficiently from the floor, and as always, playing good defense. So I think he's going to have that kind of year, and he might look at it as an opportunity to get another long-term contract. I am predicting he's going to opt out at the end of the season. Now, I don't know if I want to make that prediction yet of whether or not he'll re-sign with the Bulls or if he'll find a new home for the 2021 season. All right, let's get into the final prediction on the Bulls' win total. I've been going back and forth on this. The Eastern Conference is very top-heavy. It is weak enough where a team can slip into the playoffs without having to win a lot of games. In fact, if we go back to last season, the Detroit Pistons made it as the 8th seed in the playoffs with 41 wins. Both the Nets and Magic were the 6th and 7th seeds respectively, each with 42 wins. So it's not that hard to make it in that bottom tier of the Eastern Conference playoff picture. If the Bulls wanted in 2020 to get into the playoffs, you have to think they'd have to win somewhere around 40 to 43 games. That would take a pretty significant leap. The Chicago Bulls last year won 22 games. Granted, there were a lot of health issues. There weren't as many talented pieces on the roster like there are now, but it's going to still take a big leap. You go from 22 to 40, that's an 18-game improvement. Not a lot of teams do that from one year to the next. But given the Eastern Conference and given the addition of talent to the Bulls, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. And I think a lot of us in Bulls Nation would love to see that. I would love to see them win about 41, 42 games, get into the playoffs, be competitive with those young pieces, and really draw up some interest where other players around the league take notice. However, I don't know if they're ready to get there yet. I do think they're going to be a very intriguing team to watch for us fans, and I do think they're going to catch people's attention this year. I just don't know if they're going to make that big leap, and we still need to know if certain guys on this team can stay healthy. Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter, they need to be able to play at least 70 games this year. So I need to see that in order to make me feel like they're ready for prime time. I am predicting that they are going to make a significant improvement. We heard Salem Sutter-Wallace say that he thinks they're going to win 37 games. My prediction is actually just one more win. I think they're going to win 38 this year, and I think we're going to be very impressed with them. They're going to be flirting with getting into the playoffs this year, and I think they're going to be very fun for us fans to watch this year. I just don't think they're ready to get into that playoff picture just yet. I do hope I'm wrong, though, because it would mean a lot for them to get into the playoffs this year and potentially draw up some interest around the league, because if those other predictions I made about Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen do come into fruition and they do get into the playoffs, then I do think there's going to be some of those star players that do take notice. And with the way that Zach LaVine is with the other players in the league, that could be very interesting to watch. So that's my prediction for this year. I think the Bulls win 38 games, and they just miss the Eastern Conference playoffs. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I'm putting, at least on the record right now, in October of 2019. So those are my predictions for the Chicago Bulls for this upcoming season. I can't wait to get to the actual action this regular season. We're going to be putting out episodes for the main part on a weekly basis. It all depends on my work schedule, things like that. But I will definitely try to get episodes out on a weekly basis, either me flying solo or with some of the guests throughout Bulls Twitter and the Bulls blogosphere, podcast world, reporters that cover the team. We're going to try to get a little bit of everybody. Thanks again for listening today, and be sure to check us out all season long. You can follow us, of course, on Twitter at @Rebuild_A_Bull for the latest episodes and reaction to all the latest Bulls news. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.